Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. Well, it's good to be with you, and this is a family service, so although many kids' life is on, we've got some of our kids in, so we're trying to keep it kind of condensed. But we're going to have a great time after the service. And so I want to just talk this morning on something that's really been on my heart the last week. And that's been on that call because, you know, the call has always been there. It's never gone anywhere. You know, from 1987, even before that, when God places a call in your life, he never... You know, when he puts that invitation to you, it's never removed from your life. And so, you know, I thought, you know, this is important for us to remember our calling, because sometimes we can wrestle with our calling. Does anyone here ever wrestled with your calling before? So the title of my message, this short message today, is We Are Called, So Keep On Moving. Are you ready to keep on moving? Yeah. It's good to keep on moving. It's never good to be stagnant. It's always good to keep on going and keep on going forward. So, you know, I said earlier on, just after worship, before worship, that really today is about Thanksgiving as well. It's massively about Thanksgiving. And because God never brought us this far to leave us. And so... we've seen his grace, and we've seen him at work in our lives and in our church for all this time, for 30 years. And it just leaves you in awe, really, of the goodness of God. Because there have been plenty of times, I'm sure there are people here, that you've been ready to change your mind or to do something different or to give up or to give in. And God, something has just kept you there. And I believe that what's keeping you is your calling. And even though you might wrestle with it, struggle with it, you all are called. We are called as a church, and we've got to keep on moving. So I want to, you know, sometimes it's good to just go right back to the very start and lay a bit of a foundation. But the calling came out of 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And that is the reason the church was planted here, to bring a message of faith, hope, and love. We used to have a banner that said that, bringing a message of faith, hope, and love. So that was the primary thing, bring a message of the goodness of God so that you can penetrate Ayrshire, Kilwinning, Scotland, and change people's lives, because that's what they need. Because the calling exists for a reason. The calling exists. You know, we were called. We were called. What did God say? I've called you out of darkness. I've called you out of darkness into light. God is always calling. The call never goes away. He's always calling us to forgive, to repent, to love, to be obedient. He's calling us. It never stops. The call is always there. So that was and still is the call. And, you know, today we're going to honor Pastor Nan and Bernie, but we're going to honor one another as well. Because this journey, we didn't walk by ourselves. We don't walk these paths by ourselves. We walk together. We strengthen each other. They're the people that have been in the church from the early days, the strength that they have given the church and the pastors has been incredible. And it's all worked in together to bring us to this 30th year. Do you believe that? So this church was divinely planted in 1987. It was birthed divinely. And just like Lee was saying, since then, many people have discovered their call by coming here. Many people have launched out of this place. We've got another launcher shortly. Luke is launching. He's going to Swaziland. So hundreds of people have come here, discovered their call, and launched out of here. So we're a sending church, and that's something to be thankful for. You know, God always does things step at a time. And one thing that made a deep impact on me years ago was I remember my dad saying, you know, because I think we were at 25 years or something, or maybe 20 years, we're still a pioneering church. Huh? But we're so old. No, it's hardly anything. 30 years is like nothing, really. You know, we're not. We're still a growing church. You know, in Mark chapter 4, verse 28, God shows us how he does things progressively. He says, first the blade, then the ear, then the corn in the ear. And that's how the kingdom works. Everything is progressive. And we have progressed as a church, and we're going to keep on progressing as a church. Do you believe that? So it's important, so important to remember our calling and then to live that out. Now, that's where the competition is for you and what you're going to do in your life. Do you believe it? You know, if any of you ever, I'm sure you've spoken to even unbelievers that testify to having a calling. Well, medicine, that was my calling in life. They don't know the Lord. They may be unchurched or unsaved, but they all have a calling. Sport, that was my calling. I knew that from the moment I was born, I was going to be on the rugby pitch. You know? So people, yeah, way to go. Like these guys yesterday, I don't know, you know, we're a really astonishing people, the Scots. It's like we woke up yesterday and says, let's end this drought. We're going to win this game of rugby today. And these guys just got on the park and well, I didn't see a lot of it. We watched a bit on my iPad, and at the first half I thought, oh my, no, what's that? And then it all turned around. But, you know, I think what makes the difference is the way you respond to your calling. When you get told, listen, here's a Scotland rugby strip, go and pull that on, that's going to provoke one of two responses in you. You're either going to put that on and get fired up, and nothing is going to stop you winning the victory for your team, yeah? Or that is going to intimidate you. And so don't let your calling intimidate you. Pull on that jersey and go for it, yeah? So yesterday, the guys responded well, amen. So, but we can all identify with that struggle with the call. Anyone been there? Who, me? I don't have what it takes. You know, I'm sure someone can do the job better than me. There must be other people out there that have got a similar calling, and they'll take care of it, and everything will be okay. Have you heard of these things? Do you remember you said that to yourself at some point in time? I'll hide and I'll hope it goes away. And it's like God will always find you. No matter where you go, he's going to find you. And so, you know, when we look at God's word, it's full of people that argued with God over their calling. Can you think of any? Jonah, Moses, all of these people. No, God, you've got the wrong guy. But these were the very people that were the key to delivering their nations. The very people that said, no, don't give me the call. They were the people that turned the world on its head, that made a difference, and that changed things. So, you know, they couldn't get out of it. The word says that many are called, but few are chosen. You know, we all know that we're called because we have a ministry of reconciliation. We all are called to reach out to the lost and to invest in their lives and invite them to know Jesus. That's our calling. So you can't say, I don't have a calling, because you have got a calling, okay? The bigger picture, the more specific calling, That's something you either you know it now or you need to discover it. Do you believe that? So, a calling, you know, if I say to my daughter, Rachel, come over here, sweetheart, it's like an invitation for her to come, okay? Once I've given that invitation, it can never go away. You know, God's calling on your life is indelible. Once you've been called, you're called. It will never change. Now, I want to just refer to King Saul. Saul was called, he was invited to be anointed king over Israel. Do you remember that? That was his, he was invited. He was, that's your calling, to be anointed king over Israel. His calling was never revoked. It was his being chosen that God revoked. Do you understand that? He was chosen and things didn't work out. So God will never revoke, he will never go back on your on his calling to you. But what we need to be careful of is if we are chosen, because if many are called and few are chosen, if you're chosen, that's an awesome responsibility to have. And we don't want to miss God, do we, at all? We want to make sure that God never revokes what we've been chosen to do. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, I want to read the scripture to you from the New King James Version. And it says, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of the Lord is what matters. Keeping the commandments of the Lord is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling as he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, because but if you can be made free, rather be free. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do you believe that this morning? You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Now, I had to really think about that passage of scripture. What does it mean? And what I believe it means that basically to me that God is not bound by the conditions that he found us in when we were saved. God is not bound by those conditions. The way he found you, the way you're called as you are. You are called as you were. Do you believe that? He is the potter and we are the clay. He can take your life and propel you anywhere in the world. Do you believe that? But we are called as we are. And God will use us as we are. And, you know, in John 8, it says there, for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So no matter what your circumstances were, or how you were when you found God or God found you, God has put a calling in your life to walk it out. Do you believe it? So, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Amen. So, you know, when I look at that, I think our welfare and our happiness, it doesn't depend on who we are to the world or in the world. It depends on who we are to Christ. And, you know, if anything, Scots people should know that. Because if anyone knows the Robert Burns poem, A Man's a Man for All That, I don't know, there's something about Scots people sometimes. They're maybe in the older generation, I think, it's still a bit there. You know, it doesn't see all the fluff. It doesn't really bother me. What's really in here? That's what matters. What's in your heart matters. You know, and some people have got no time for all of the razzmatazz and the show. It's what's in here that really matters. And that's important to remember. And I'll give you a little bit of Scottish cultural history, because I said already we're astonishing people. But you know that by the end of the 18th century, Scotland had the highest literacy rate in the known world. We had the highest literacy rate in the known world. Don't know if any of you remember people like Wycliffe and Tyndale. These men took the Bible and translated it from Latin into English, the mother tongue. They were forbidden to do that. In those days, only the elite or the clergy were allowed to read the scripture. Along come the Scots. We all know Latin. We all do. But no, but these men were put to death for that. They were put to death because they said, do you know what? This is our calling. We're going to make the word known throughout the earth. And we're just going to translate it from Latin into English. Pfft, dead. But they fulfilled their calling. They were worthy of their calling. Everyone here is worthy. You are worthy of your calling. You are worthy of it. Look, you're worthy of going to Swaziland and doing great things. Every single person here is worthy of their calling. And so another example of that is the, you know, about your heart is the Covenanters. You know, and back then, spiritual zeal was that's what they were known for, the Covenanters, their spiritual zeal. And that's what separated them. That's what made them extraordinary. The difference between being extraordinary and ordinary is what's in your heart. It's your zeal and your passion, not what people can see on the outside. So, you know, your calling is going to separate you. Our calling as a church, it has not always been easy. In the early days, you're not a church. There's no way you're a church. But your calling will separate you. Your calling will separate you sometimes even from your family. Your calling is going to separate you from your friends. But the calling, you're worthy of it, and the call is there. And you need to act. Will you heed the call? Amen. So there's definitely a battle in your life over your calling. But before I forget, because I was talking about the rugby team getting their call-ups for Scotland, and look how they performed, you know. But I remember getting my call-up papers for the army. Anyone here receive their conscription papers? You know, the call came through. Mr. David McLaughlin, show up at Potchefstroom. Potchefstroom, you know, no way. But it's like the calling was there, and how you respond to the calling makes such a difference because, you know, Potch was where everyone went, where most guys went to start their army training was in Potchefstroom. And thank God he had different plans because just at the same time, 1987, we came back here. And sadly, I missed my national service, but I really would have loved to have done it. Don't think I would have liked to have gone to Potchefstroom, right enough. But anyway, but the same can be said when the call comes. The call comes, Kilwinning. What? Kilwinning? You mad? Or the call comes and it's outer wherever. But the call comes. And even if you don't like where the call is two, you have to obey and you have to go on. So we are accountable for our calling. And that's really something that I'd ask all of you to meditate on. Meditate on your calling. Reflect, you know, and say, you know, God, if I haven't been walking this out, give me the grace to make up for it. You can still make up for it. Yeah? Amen? So the reality is that God's looking for people that are going to answer the call. And in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it said, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who's going to go for us?' And Isaiah says, 'Here I am, send me.'" And that's it. It's like, "Here I am, send me." And quite often, you know, have you ever been in this situation where someone puts a challenge or an expectation or a call out there and you're in a group of people and you're like, who's going to be the first one to say, "I'll do it"? Do you know the power in being the first person to put your hand up and do that? The strength that gives you, it's like almost as if courage comes out of nowhere. You've been afraid to put your hand up and say, "I'll do it." But you've made a decision, "I'm going to be first to put my hand up." Immediately, God sees your faithfulness and he fills you with courage. And he fills you with passion and he fills you with boldness that you feel you can go out and you can do anything that he asks you to do. So, we can miss divine moments. We can miss times when we should have done things. And the parable of the talents confirms that. What we do with what we've been entrusted with matters a lot. It matters a lot. And you know, the competition, that battle for the calling in your life, have you ever heard the saying, "No man can serve two masters"? It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." And we think, well, hang on, that scripture's talking about money being your master. But in some translations of the Bible, that word is not money, it's mammon. And mammon is a Syriac word, and it means gain. It just simply means gain. Doesn't mean money specifically, it means gain. Therein lies the competition, the contest for your calling. Worldly gain versus God's calling. And we have to choose it. And if we choose right, then you will never know a day of lack in your life. Even though times can be tough and times can be hard, you will never know a day. God's grace abounds to us. His sufficiency is there for us. So God's always calling us. Now, the call's there to be answered and enjoyed, not answered and endured. And that's something as well that we think, do you know what? I'll just trudge out this calling. Okay, God, you got me. I'm just going to go for it. I'll just do it. And we walk it out and we endure it and we don't see the progress or the results that God would desire us have. But when we answer the call and we enjoy it, things change. The world's a different place. When you make a decision to enjoy what you're doing, can anyone agree with me this morning? You're very quiet. When you make the decision to enjoy something, things change. Everything changes. And I believe that as a church, we're moving into a phase of happy work. It's happy work. It started late last year. People here answered the call to go and chap doors. Never done it before. I'll do it. I believe it's transforming their lives. It's transforming this church. Thank you for doing that. But we're moving into a phase of happy work. So there's one thing about the call. It always must produce motion. Okay? It produces movement. So your call has got to take you milestone to milestone. And I remember the milestones in this church. Wonderful times, you know. But you don't stay at your milestone. You move on, don't you? I remember Pastor Mark and Denise, the birth of YUC, an awesome milestone in the church. Awesome. It was only God could orchestrate that. From going from a handful of youth to next minute, there's like 80, 90. It was just, last week Pastor spoke about God's providence. You know, and God will just, when we just say, okay, we'll answer the call, he'll provide. And so he'll provide you with people to work with, to work alongside you. And you know, the other thing is, every milestone we reach, we look back and we see the people that have launched off from that milestone. It's like, wow, got there, that was good. We did a Bible school, it wasn't easy, but we've seen how it was a launch pad. And it's still working out. Amen. We've seen it was a launch pad. It's God's word never returns void. It's always there. And so, you know, Pastor often talks about epochal moments and monumental moments. Today is a monumental moment. We should observe today and remember where we've come from. Monuments are good. Most of us associate monuments with dead things, but no, monuments. The word monument really means to commemorate, or actually another word for the name monument is to warn, which was really interesting, because monuments can shape our future, because they warn us. They remind us. It's like people ask the question, how come we've not learned our lesson after the Second World War? You know, look at all of those battlefield graveyards with the white crosses. When will we learn our lesson? Monuments warn us as well about the future. And they help us to visualize into the future. And I want to assure you this morning that this church has a vision. And we would like every single person here to flow with that vision, but to remember your calling, and that God has placed a vision in your heart too, and that all works in together as a part for the greater working, for the greater good. Amen. So I'm going to finish with this. We must always search for the Lord and where he's going. Because if we, you know, do you remember in the word it says the Israelites, they moved by cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. Whenever the Spirit of God moved, they moved. When God moves, we need to move. When the Spirit moves, you must move. If you stay where you are, the danger is you're going to look for a replacement of what was there. And that's potentially going to keep you stuck in a dangerous place. So when the Spirit of God moves, we must move. We can't look for a replacement of what was. We have to keep on going forward. And I believe that that's a word for someone this morning. Don't stay in the one place thinking, how can I replace what I had? When God has just said to you, you mustn't stay. You must move. You've got to move on. So I had a closing scripture, but I just want to say this, so I'm not going to read it. God never changes his mind on his calling. And we just have to sometimes just say, you know what, it doesn't matter what it costs. We're just going to be obedient and we're just going to go for it. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.